Today, November 24th, 2005, is the 42nd anniversary of the assassination of Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, I spent last night, part of last night, watching all 20 of the amateur films that were shot in Dealey Plaza on November 22nd, 1963. And I saw all 20 of them. Only three showed the actual moments of the assassination itself. But they must have gathered together every single person who had a camera there to collect this together. And it was a Robert Groden documentary, and I watched the Zapruder section endlessly because that's the one they showed the most. Five or six different variants of the copies of the film with its little cuts and stuff in it, and a computer enhanced version of the best quality one. And there's that horrible headshot. I must have watched it happen 40 times or something last night. That horrible moment when the bullet smashes into Kennedy's head. And Groden, of course, is a conspiracy theorist, and he was going on and on about how this absolutely proves that the shot came from the front and hit Kennedy in the head. And the odd thing is that I can see what it is that he sees when he does that. But, see, I have a different take. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not a believer in the government. And I believe there was a big cover-up that was going on. But what I see when I see that is a man wearing a heavy back brace that's holding him in place who's getting shot from behind. And he's thrown sideways. The flap of the skull goes forward, in my impression, not backwards. And he's thrown sideways, and his head exploded. He was hit in the above his right ear, above the top. You know, if he had been hit right in the center of the back of his head, he probably would have been fully thrown forward, back brace or none. But it's the back brace, which no one ever mentions when they show you this film. They don't mention the fact that Kennedy was in a back brace and was being held up sort of artificially because of spine problems that he had. And, yeah, bang. What's the point? Well, it's 42 years later. We always forget about the anniversary of Oswald's death, which is today, which is Thanksgiving Day. And, now, you know, Jack Ruby comes in and shoots him. I mean, that one we have good films of. These amateur films are all pretty blurry. Even the Zapruder film, the so-called best one, is really a mess. It jumps during the gunshots, and it's just blurry as can be. But, well, maybe I should go around to the other side, and we should get started here. So, don't you know? I want to push that up.
Where do you think you are, K-Rock? This be Kill. Kill, 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 Kill Radio. Where do you think you are, K-Rock? This be Kill. Kill, 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 Kill Radio. Where do you think you are, K-Rock? This be Kill, Kill Radio.
Yeah, for one time, I'm back. This is the Thursday Impressionistic News Hour for killradio.org, and it's for the 24th of November, 2005. Impressionistic because I'm examining from several different points of view and several different sources the things that have happened in the news. John Hirschfield is in Maryland. Hi, John, if you're listening. Thanks for the good work you're doing on the news. I'm just subbing this week. John will be back next week. But, hey, relax. You're back home with your old friend. Here we are once again at the Impressionistic News. Assassination. All right, so are you a believer in conspiracies? Do you think that Lee Harvey Oswald was part of some huge conspiracy group and he was the Patsy Fall guy and that it was really done by Lyndon Johnson or UFOs or the Pope did it or Cubans did it or the CIA did it? All because Kennedy was going to stop the Vietnam War, say. Is that what you think? Do you base it on the things that you've been told about the assassination from many different places? Oliver Stone's movie, I think, is absolutely brilliant. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. I disagree with the assassination interpretation, but I think it shows so much of the thinking processes. It's a movie about thinking. That it's absolutely fantastic. But if you remember the structure of the movie, it's about, you know, all of the theories and all of the potentialities are built up to this case against Clay Shaw, and the jury's out for, 30 minutes and come back and find him not guilty, and the movie ends. There's no big, huge thing done, no great conclusion. The trial is done. And that's a very fascinating way for the movie to go. In my case, I was a conspiracy believer. I remember reading somebody, they've shot the president, a book back, Robert Penn Warren, or not him, somebody, back in Robert Sam somebody, Anson, wrote it back in the mid-70s as a summary of all of the assassination stuff. And when I read it, I immediately became a conspiracy believer. I think I have a tape of myself somewhere where I say it's just no way Lee Harvey Oswald could have committed the crime. It was just impossible for him to have done it. But I listened to so many people and their theories. And I remember Dave Emery came to the place where I was working, which was called the Grassy Knoll, in 1993, and he spoke for 10 hours about the different theories, because the Kennedy assassination is the basis for all conspiracy thought, and everything has moved from there forward since that time. And I've been told I'm a fool. It's absolutely foolish to not understand that this is all part of this huge evil stuff that's going on here. And so I did something really weird. I went back and I read the summary of the Warren Report, the one-volume version. And while it showed how ineptly the crime was investigated at the time and all that, it also showed that it made the best case possible for what the evidence showed. And as the years have gone by, there was an attempt to introduce new evidence, a police dicta belt that supposedly had an audio recording of the plaza, which Robert Grodin in the films I watched last night just said that that's definitely true. In fact, one of the films showed the cop who supposedly had the dicta belt on. But it was determined to many people's satisfaction, enough to dismiss it, that the dicta belt did not record that the actual minutes, the 12:30 p.m. shot in Dealey Plaza that day, so that the dicta belt really was irrelevant. And what I found in my investigation is that in my personal readings and thinking, as long as I tried to stay away from going crazy with thinking, It kept coming back to the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald was definitely what they called a loner. You know, he hung out by himself. His landlady said after he moved into the place in New Orleans that he never went out at night. Now, all the theories talk about how he was appearing everywhere, that he'd appear in two or three places at once, trying to rent a car. He went to Cuba and all that. Well, they have some tracks of him. But the fact was the guy stayed right there. He wouldn't go out at night. He just stayed in his room. He wouldn't even come and watch television with the other members in the household where he was, renting a room. Robert Oswald, who was Lee's brother, said pretty conclusively a few years ago that he actually went to see Lee after he was arrested, and the Saturday after the assassination, Robert did see his brother in jail. He'd been roughed up a little bit by the authorities, and he refused to admit anything, but he had a real smug look on his face, and he told his brother, "Oh, all this will come out in the trial." And to Robert, it was obvious his brother had committed the crime, and was he was smirking about it. He was going to get to tell his story, and he was going to get a lot of attention. Now, maybe that doesn't satisfy you, but it satisfies me to a degree as to why the man would do this. Because after all, it is let's face it, a crazy act, and a successful one. The computer recreations of the shootings show that, at least the theory that the first shot missed seems to be true. Second shot hit both Kennedy and Governor Connally. Now, that's the one that's called the magic bullet. And in the JFK movie and in other places, it gets seen that the thing turns directions in midair and all that. Well, actual computer simulations, Walter Cronkite hosted one on PBS back in 1988 that showed that, yeah, it's a distinct possibility. I mean, it's the best explanation for the fact that there were three shots fired, three shots from the rifle that was recovered were shown to have been fired from that rifle, that there were wounds that matched what was there, and one shot missed. Okay, the first shot missed, the second shot hit both men, the third shot blew Kennedy's brain out. And so, the best explanation shows that it happened. I mean, that's the way it happened. Again, I can understand why people want to believe other variations. Don't give me ad hominem attacks, but I can understand that. It seems to me, and this is my theory, that there was a cover-up, and the cover-up was by the CIA and the FBI. They were trying to cover up the fact that they knew who Oswald was. They were so shocked by the assassination, and here was a guy who was on their radar, that they tried to cover up all the connections that they could so that it didn't make them look so inept and incompetent like the current administration is. And if Kennedy had been stating, as it seems he did, that he wanted to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces, they definitely, were in bad straits with the bad evidence at the Bay of Pigs and all that, that they were screwing up so badly. And here now Kennedy's shot, and we had our eyes on this guy the whole time, and we didn't catch him. So there was a lot of cover-up there, as well as totally inept police work. I mean, they interrogated Oswald for hours, and nobody wrote down anything he said. They made no recordings of the interrogation. People who'd stop by the police station, some cop would say, "Hey, you want to talk to the guy?" And they just bring him in. If you read the section in the Warren Report about the interrogation of the prisoner, it's mortifying to see how badly it was done, how many laws were broken in terms of collecting evidence. And then when the Secret Service wanted to take Kennedy's body away, and the local coroner said, "No, this is a local murder and is a local matter, and the body should stay here," he was ignored. Again, there was just a lot of ineptness. Everybody was so shocked by what happened that they just didn't do anything properly. Well, the result of all that incompetence is that it can't help but look like a conspiracy. And then Jack Ruby, I mean, we're in we're talking about bloody Texas, where everybody has a fucking gun. In 1977, I had a job in Texas, and I was lost at one point trying to find this factory that I was supposed to do some testing in. And I'm driving down these empty roads that, because the land is just flat there, just going on forever. And I stopped at a farmhouse to ask for directions, and I walked up to the front porch and went up to knock on the door, and I hear a voice behind me, and there's some fucker standing there with a rifle saying, "Get off my porch and go get in your truck, get the hell out of here." And I did, but, you know, that's legal there. Everybody has guns. You know, of course, it was 1963. Everybody had guns. I had guns in my house where I was a few hundred miles north. I was 10 when Kennedy was shot. So the fact that some nutcase walks in, some guy walks into the police station and shoots Oswald, well, unfortunately, that's just another matter of how inept everything was handled. And it sure does look bad. Yeah, you can make all kinds of a conspiracy case, but it, you know, those things get so twisted and complicated. And when you go back to the simplest measures and you look at the things dispassionately, I don't know, it just don't look as, it's all about what the nutters think it is, you know, and it isn't what it, what am I talking about? So there, the assassination, see? This is thinking processes. These are the impressions that I have. And who am I but your Kill Radio DJ here on Thanksgiving? Hope you're having a good Thanksgiving. And I hope now that I've got your head full of images of death. Weekly News in Review. Yes, it's Bennett reading from Harper's.org's Weekly News in Review for the for this week here on Kill Radio. It's Thanksgiving Day, the 24th of November, 2005. This was posted on November 22nd, Tuesday, by Paul Ford on the Harper's.org website. I haven't looked at the weekly news in a while. This is for the brief return of the Impressionistic News Hour, of course. So Paul Ford posted this, and this concerns the news of the past week. Of course, November 22nd was the 42nd anniversary of John Kennedy's assassination. The photo that comes, well, the White House photo that comes with the news is Bush in Mongolia, surrounded by beaming Mongolians with great big smiles, and GW just seems to fit right in there. Our happy man. And the news is not quite so happy, of course, because it never is. At least 162 people were killed in violence in Iraq, where 173 malnourished Sunni Arab prisoners, many of whom had been severely tortured, were found in the basement of an Iraqi Interior Ministry compound. "You know what happens in prison," explained the Interior Ministry's Undersecretary for Security. "Their skins," said one witness, "got stuck to the floor." Two Iraqi businessmen, not terrorists, but businessmen, accused U.S. troops of caging them with lions in 2003. The men were also severely beaten after they were not able to tell army interrogators where to find Saddam Hussein or weapons of mass destruction. "I thought he was joking, so I laughed," said one of the businessmen. "He just hit me." In Basra, two British-trained policemen had tortured at least two civilians to death with electric drills. After repeated denials, the Pentagon finally admitted to using white phosphorus during the 2004 attack on Fallujah. It is an incendiary weapon, explained a spokesman. Representative John Murtha, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, called for the halt of United States troop deployments to Iraq. Duncan Hunter, a Republican from California, seeking to cut off debate over Murtha's statements, countered by proposing a measure that required U.S. troops be brought home immediately. In other words, in order to cut off the idea that there be a reasonable attempt to bring the American troops back home, a Republican stepped up and said, we should bring them home immediately in order to make the Democrats look bad. That's what a Republican did. It was an amazing moment. Gene Schmidt, a Republican freshman from Ohio, meaning it was her first term, addressed Murtha, a decorated 37-year veteran and a former Marine colonel who was definitely a hawk supporting the invasion of Iraq. She addressed Murtha by quoting a Marine Corps reserve officer who told her that cowards cut and run. She was booed, as she deserved to be. You guys are pathetic, said Marty Meehan, a Democrat from Massachusetts. Harold Ford, a Democrat from Tennessee, ran across the House chamber's center aisle to the Republican side. Say Murtha's name, he shouted. Schmidt asked that her comments be struck from the record, but too late. They were already on television. And Hunter's resolution was rejected 403-3, with Murtha among those voting against it. The House approved a $50 billion budget cut that will increase Medicaid fees, affects me personally, and reduce funding for student loans and food stamps. And Congress voted itself a $3,100 annual pay raise. So the poor people have food taken away from them and help taken away from them, but the Congress people are giving themselves more money. The Pentagon revealed that since September 11, 2001, it has detained more than 80,000 prisoners at facilities around the world. And UN human rights experts decided not to visit Guantanamo Bay because the United States refused to allow them full access to detainees. Remember, I mean, on the very simplest level, the reason that the U.S. is putting prisoners in Guantanamo is because even though it's a U.S. territory on Cuba, it is not the United States, so they don't have to follow constitutional rules. They don't have to give anybody any rights there. This administration is the worst for human rights in the history of this country. Just the worst. Absolutely the worst. A CIA official revealed that the agency's annual budget, which is classified, is $44 billion. That's classified. I just reported classified information. The Justice Department was considering an investigation into how the Halliburton Company was secretly awarded non-competitive multi-billion dollar contracts for oil field repairs in Iraq. Gee, I bet I could answer that. I bet I know how that happened. And I'm not classified. A White House document showed that executives from large oil firms met with, oh, look at this, Vice President Dick Cheney. Fuck off, Mr. Cheney. Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force in 2001. The document was released a week after representatives from those firms testified before a Senate committee that they had not met with the task force. Washington Post journalist admitted that a senior administration official had revealed the identity of Valerie Wilson to him 1 month before administration officials revealed Wilson's identity to anyone else. That official is apparently neither Scooter Libby nor Karl Rove. Condoleezza Rice, of course, denied any involvement. Patrick Fitzgerald announced that he would call a new grand jury to investigate the Valerie Wilson case. Bill Clinton referred to the Iraq War as a big mistake. We never sent enough troops, he said. Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the Pentagon Papers to the New York Times in 1971, said that history was repeating itself. What did they say? What do those old signs say about it? That's all it'll do until you learn something? The German intelligence officials who interrogated Curveball, an Iraqi who provided false intelligence that the Bush administration used to justify the war in Iraq, said that they had repeatedly warned the United States that Curveball, who may have been lying in order to obtain a German visa, could not be trusted. Mein Gott, said an intelligence official. We had always told them it was not proven. Ahmad Chalabi met with Dick Cheney and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld in Washington, D.C. I lost my place here. In Australia, a 10-year attempt to create pest-resistant peas was canceled after it was found that the peas cause lung damage in mice. Let's have a cigarette. A Swedish study linked oral sex to mouth cancer. Huh? I thought that wasn't even sex. A Florida woman was run over by 10 different cars while attempting to walk across a highway. Police marked parts of her body with traffic cones. It's crazy out here, said a trooper, to try to cross the median. The United Kingdom was building a database that will track the movements of every vehicle on its roads. Supreme Court fascist nominee Samuel Alito attempted to distance himself from his statement, "The Constitution does not protect a right to an abortion," which he wrote in an application for a job in the Reagan administration. It was a political job, he clarified, and that was 1985. A congressional investigation determined that the FDA decided to bar over-the-counter sales of the morning-after pill before a scientific review of the pill was completed. 8 possibly pregnant South African Boer goats were missing in Lincoln, Nebraska. 1 Milwaukee, Wisconsin man was in trouble for drunken ice cream truck driving, while another was in trouble for severely beating his girlfriend with a cactus. Peter Drucker, who died, and Prince Albert ascended to the throne of Monaco. And I guess he was in a can too, right? The Night Safari Zoo was preparing to open in Thailand. Its buffet will feature tiger, lion, elephant, and giraffe. In Georgia, a 37-year-old woman married a 15-year-old boy, and the Kansas Board of Education has redefined science so that it is no longer limited to the search of natural explanations for phenomena. The Vatican announced that intelligent design was not science and did not belong in classrooms. God bless the Vatican. Jesus. President George W. Bush visited China, and what did he do there? He went to church. China announced that it will vaccinate 14 billion poultry against bird flu. Happy Thanksgiving. We eat turkey on Thanksgiving for you non-U.S. people. Bodies were still being found in New Orleans. That amazes me. That just disgusts and amazes me. The Senate refused to consider a Democratic resolution to honor Bruce Springsteen. At a convention center in Leeuwarden, Netherlands, a sparrow flew in through an open window and knocked over 23,000 dominoes. The sparrow cowered in a corner until it was shot and killed. Scientists found the gene that regulates fear in mice and created mice that are not afraid. Wow. In Khatsagar, India, a 3-day-old baby died from an infection when her... Oh my God.
A 3-day-old baby died from an infection when her parents were unable to afford surgery. The baby had been born with her heart in her hand. Imagine that. So see, it's still whacked out there. This has been the weekly news and review from Kill Radio.
The lowest note on the organ, a 7-inch from the early 80s called Trial by Silhouette, which brings to mind, because everything is trial by silhouette, right? At least in this country, right? If your silhouette is dark enough, you're going to go to prison. And I wanted to at least briefly mention the Tukey Williams matter. Tukey was the founder of the Crips. 25 years ago, he was sentenced to death for committing 4 murders. The evidence is pretty strong that he did commit those crimes. He has apologized to the families of the victims, though he still claims, evidently, that he didn't commit the crime. It does appear that he committed the crime, and if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But that's not really the point, because at this level right now, we're about to have him executed. December 13th. Merry Christmas. We're going to have an execution. And our governor, who just had his ass kicked in his election a few weeks back, is going to want to at least appear strong and Republican so he can be one of the Nazis. And he probably won't, even though the wisest step would be to commute or to say, I'm going to think about it for 6 months or something, to at least get it away from Christmas time. Okay. I'm, of course, opposed to the death penalty. I find the whole idea that the state can commit if a person did it, it's a crime, but with a state can do it, that there's something supposed to be glorious about that. I find that whole idea to be just barbaric and hypocritical and all that. But I understand why supporters of the death penalty think that it's such a good idea. And yes, of course, once you kill somebody, they won't come back. So you and if you've killed the killer, then you've stopped them from killing again. Whatever, it's barbaric, but I understand where that comes from. I know there are a lot of people who support the death penalty. What it all comes down to is that locally, radio stations around here are chomping at the bit about this death. Bastard assholes like Larry Elder and those fascists over on KKK Radio, John and Ken, Con and Jen, they have staked out turf. You know, let's kill Tukey Williams. And in doing that, they're actually race baiting, because because the people that are opposed to it, besides the intelligent liberals, are a whole bunch of young people who just see this as just another blood rite, blood ritual in a society. And, of course you tell kids that you don't want them to commit crimes, because murdering people is bad and wrong. So we'll murder and we'll show you that we're tougher than you are. And no matter how tough you think you are, the government's even tougher. We'll kill you, sons of bitches. I do think that all this race baiting and all this hatred, that hate mongering by these fascist assholes on the radio and probably other places, is just bad for the community, bad for the, what if at the time of the execution, with all this race baiting and all this foaming at the mouth assholism out there, what if we get another riot? You know, we had a huge riot here in Los Angeles in 91. What if we get another one, 92? What if we get another one, huh? What if we get another one? What if this sparks off something? I heard a teacher on a radio show yesterday call in and say that her students regard Tukey Williams as a hero. Now, that's wrong, too. But nonetheless, if the kids, and there are a lot of them, and the kids are getting more and more outspoken about things, they see the wrong wars and inept, incompetent administration, how dare they want to kill this guy who actually has done good things, you know? And so my comment is really about all that race baiting and all that hatred, and how, I really wish that we could just do something about it, like, and say, you can't do it. You know, where's the FCC? Why isn't the FCC stepping in and saying, you are causing trouble in the community? This is a bad thing, you know? Why can't the police go and say, you guys have got to stop doing this, you know? Well, because that's fascist, a fascist idea. Shouldn't they have free speech? Well, yeah, you got free speech, except when you're yelling fire in a crowded theater. And this is kind of like doing that. So trial by silhouette, huh? Well, Tukey, I don't think you're going to get commuted, and I do think that after 25 years in prison, you probably want to be dead. I mean, I'd be sick of it. But nonetheless, that's kind of where it's at right now, and I know that's not good, and I know it's not easy, and I know it's not a very satisfying answer, but geez, that is what's happening. Because after all, the world is really just full of shades of gray. In Mono from the Headquarters album by the Monkees.
When the world and I were young, just yesterday, life was such a simple game a child could play.
Shades of gray. Don't we wish it were easier to determine things, to come to those answers? Human rights. Human rights. This country becoming such a violator of human rights, torturing people in prison, etc. And then this thing about bombing Al Jazeera. The first references I heard to that a few days ago, I guess it was from that the memo, before the memo leaked or something, the first talking about it, I just immediately assumed it was a joke, because after all, Al Jazeera are the good guys. I mean, you know, it's Mad Magazine, you know, Mad TV. They would do a joke like that, you know, President, he's just going to just bomb them, you know, death to America. Then it turns out that, Jesus, it's seems to be true. Here's from Channel 4 from the BBC, thanks to Dave Parker. Here's some commentary from Channel 4 and an interesting interview with somebody from Al Jazeera.
It is a top-secret memo, so sensitive that we can't tell you what it says. Editors who publish the details have been threatened with jail. According to the Daily Mirror, it records President Bush suggesting a military strike against the Arab television station Al Jazeera, and Tony Blair arguing against an attack. There are calls for Downing Street to publish the transcript, as executives from the Qatari-based television network demand to know exactly what happened. The two men who allegedly leaked the document have been charged under the Official Secrets Act, and it's understood the government here is likely to ask for their case to be heard in secret to stop any more revelations, as Lucy Manning now reports.
قالت صحيفة ديلي ميرور البريطانية إن النائب العام في بريطانيا اللورد جولدسميث طلب
من Making their own headlines. Al Jazeera were reporting on the leaked document in the Daily Mirror that allegedly said President Bush had last year discussed with Tony Blair his plan to bomb Al Jazeera. But while they were reporting it, the British press had been warned off. The Attorney General Lord Goldsmith threatening the media with prosecution under the Official Secrets Act if they published any more details. The two leaders' conversation was, said the Mirror, in a document which turned up in the office of a former Labour MP, Tony Clark. His former researcher and a Cabinet Office official are charged with breaking the Official Secrets Act. The Attorney General's decision to threaten editors with the same has baffled many at Westminster.
Well, it does seem to me a very draconian threat, and it leads one to the suspicion that the anxiety here is not so much the national interest, but preventing the government from embarrassment. After all, the events with which we are concerned took place some considerable time ago. Why is it necessary to invoke the terms of an act designed to deal with issues which arise in a time of national emergency?
Allegations that President Bush wanted to take military action against Al Jazeera are certainly embarrassing. Al Jazeera's relations with the Americans have been turbulent. Its correspondent Tariq Ayoub was killed in Baghdad when an American air raid hit the station's offices. And its office in Kabul was also hit by two bombs in 2001. But the fact the media has been warned off giving any more details from the leaked memo suggests there are other things in it the government doesn't want to come out.
Undoubtedly the leak of such a memo is embarrassing, not only here but in the United States, where the finger of blame will be pointed at London, at Downing Street, and that is difficult for the Prime Minister. There are many theories awash now in the corridors of Westminster, and the one that seems to be gaining the most currency is that it's the White House that's most angry, it's the White House that's got most to lose, and it's the White House in particular that wants to keep that memo secret.
It's thought the memo points to a dispute between the Prime Minister and the President over military tactics in Iraq. At the time, there were reports of British concerns about the actions of American troops in Fallujah. But after the Attorney General's warning, the Mirror has given an undertaking not to publish any more.
This is the first time that the government's threatened an Official Secrets Act prosecution against a journalist. They have in the past sought injunctions to suppress governmental information. For example, in the Spycatcher case where I acted for The Guardian and The Observer. They've also brought prosecutions against former MI5 and MI6 people and government civil servants. But this is the first time that a prosecution's been threatened against a newspaper editor or journalist.
More details of the memo and what the Prime Minister did discuss with President Bush are likely to come out at the trial of the two men accused in connection with leaking it. But it's likely the prosecution will try to keep the press and the public out.
Lucy Manning reporting. And a further hint at the US attitude to Al Jazeera television came to light today in recently declassified information about one of their journalists held in Guantanamo Bay. It's been revealed that cameraman Sami Muhyiddin Al-Haj has been questioned by US authorities 130 times. 125 of the interviews were about whether Al Jazeera was a front for Al-Qaeda. The journalist's lawyer is Clive Stafford Smith.
Unfortunately, the American attitude to Al Jazeera is quite clear, and I've recently declassified evidence that comes from my client in Guantanamo Bay, Sami Al-Haj, who's an Al Jazeera journalist who's been locked up there for 4 years. And what Sami says is that he's been interrogated 130 times approximately by the Americans, 125 of which were focused solely on trying to get him to be an informant against Al Jazeera, to say something that he says is patently not true, which is that Al Jazeera is somehow funded by Al-Qaeda. And Sami, to his credit, just won't do that. He says it's false.
Well, we're joined from Rome now by Al Jazeera's managing director, Warhak Khanfa. Mr. Khanfa, there are reports here that, among other things in this memo, the exchange between Bush and Blair about bombing Al Jazeera was a joke, and that indeed this may be a face-saving operation rather than a serious matter of national security. Are you taking it as a joke?
Yeah. Of course we are not. Of course we cannot take it as a joke. A joke from President Bush cannot be regarded ordinary joke. And many things are used actually in the region, in the Middle East, that many things start as a joke. And even sometimes starts as denial. Then eventually it will become solid matter. So therefore, yes, we are taking it very serious. It is of a serious interest. Why? Because also Al Jazeera was attacked twice before, once in Kabul and again in Baghdad during the war on Iraq. And one of our colleagues was killed in that attack in Baghdad. And as you mentioned, also one of our reporters right now in Guantanamo and another one is locked in Spain. So that kind of environment, what has we been hearing from the American administration and American officials during the last few years, did create a sort of hostile attitude towards Al Jazeera. And as I mentioned, Al Jazeera was attacked twice militarily. So again, if this is a joke, they should... First, we did not receive any right. clarification, by the way.
Well, now,
no one has told us if it was a joke or not.
I gather that you are trying to make direct contact with British ministers. First of all, have you had any success?
Actually, we are planning to, you know, we have asked for meetings, and we are planning to have direct contacts with high officials, and we are going to speak not only to the officials, we are going to speak to the journalists, chief editors of newspapers. It is not a matter of Al Jazeera. It is a matter of a new definition of democracy. If that is correct, then we are in front of a story that is redefining freedom of expression. You are speaking about civilian journalists who have been reporting for 9 years on the forefront of reform and democracy in the Arab world. You are speaking about a network that has established one of the most popular brand names in the world.
If so, you could speak,
of course, it is a big story.
If you could speak to Tony Blair tonight, what would you like him to do then?
I would like official explanation about what has happened. I would like to inform my people, the journalists of Al Jazeera, who have issued a statement tonight asking for official investigation. He should be clear about this matter, because it is not only Al Jazeera. It is the Arab world who is waiting for that explanation. It is the world in large. It is every journalist who feels that this is a new rule for the game of journalism. I think he should come out clear. He should open up for people to know exactly what has happened, because definitely, without speaking out about what has happened, the damage will occur, and people will take it for granted as a matter that has happened. And in the Arab world, of course, a rift will occur, and hopefully we will come out to an end, which is not correct. But definitely, we still demand very clear, direct, straightforward reply.
Wadak Khanva, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
For with us now. Oh, God, doesn't Bush and company just look like the worst criminals in the world today? I hate saying that. I don't want to have to say that. But what are these people? They don't like the truth. The truth offends them. The truth is their worst enemy because of the way they run things. Ha! 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 This is the Thursday Impressionistic News Hour. Just a substitute. I'm just sitting in, Bennett here, sitting in, and after all, this could be the last time. Well, I told you once and I told you twice, but you never listened to this. actually, this probably isn't the last time for me to be doing the news, but it is getting near the end of this time segment. I have another audio piece that I could play about the worst shortfall in admissions for West Point in here in 25 years, how the kids aren't signing up anymore, Georgie Porgy. And so that means the generals, we're just down on having generals for the future wars, for the corruption. But I don't have time to play it right now, so maybe another time in the future. In the meantime, I did want to go out with this and tell you that Saturday night on the Chill Room, I'm going to be devoting the program to the maniacal mind of William S. Burroughs.
Uranian Willie, the heavy metal kid, also known as Willie the Rat, he wised up the marks. This is war to extermination. Fight cell by cell through bodies and mind screens of the earth. Souls rotten from the orgasm drug. Flesh shuddering from the ovens. Prisoners of the earth, come out. Storm the studio. Burnt metal smell of interplanetary war in the raw noon streets, swept by screaming glass blizzards of enemy flak. Ship linguals, free doorways, cut word lines, photo falling, word falling, breakthrough in gray room. Towers, open fire. Partisans of all nation, open fire. Tilt, blast, pound, stab, strap, kill. Pilot K-9, you are cut off. Back. Back before the whole fucking shithouse goes up. Return to base immediately. Right, music beam, back to base. Stay out of that time flak. All pilots, ride panpipes back to base. The technician, mixed a bicarbonate of soda, surveying the havoc on his view screen. It was impossible to estimate the damage. Anything put out up till now is like pulling a figure out of the air. Enemy installations shattered, personnel decimated, board books taken. Electric waves of resistance sweeping through mind screens of the earth. The message of total resistance on shortwave of the world. This is war to extermination. Shift linguals, cut word lines. Vibrate tourists, free doorways. Photo falling, word falling. Breakthrough in gray room. Calling partisans of all nation. Towers, open fire.
Well, it's been nice being back, getting to share some thoughts with you about the Tukey Williams case and about the assassination of Lee Harvey Oswald. Oh, there are so many things that you could talk about. The IRS going after political churches that aren't really political at all because they don't tell people how to vote. They just want people to be concerned. Something's so amiss. Something's so wrong. But after all, it's just an experiment in terror by Henry Mancini. And it's just killradio.org. And it's just the impressionistic news. Now, John Hirschfield will be back next week doing Is Good at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in Los Angeles. And at 6 o'clock doing the Thursday news here on KR. So you come back and you listen to him. He does a good show. And me, I'm going to put my head into more mono sounds. Mono is the new stereo. Thanks for listening, folks. This will be on the Kill Radio Archive and on radioforall.net. But it's already in your head. And you know what? You're good looking. Thanks for listening to Kill Radio. Don't forget to kill your friends.